I brought us to the end of the story because I felt like where the scripture stopped, we didn't know what happened next. So we got what happened next. Anyway, this is a continuation of Paul's travels in Macedonia, where he had met Lydia last week. We talked about Lydia and her conversion in that place of prayer. So now Paul and Silas were again going to that place of prayer when they come across the slave girl who has a spirit of divination. And can you imagine having this girl, this or woman, following you around, telling everybody, because everybody was hearing her, that these men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation. Now, the first time you hear it, you might be excited. She's going to get people to come and see me. She's going to get people to come hear my message of salvation about Jesus Christ. So you got to be excited that even though she's got a spirit of divination, she's going to get you people to convert, right? But then she's doing this for many days. Paul gets a little annoyed. It's kind of like, can she please go away? She's like a mosquito pest continuing to bother him, or a fly that he can't seem to get rid of. And when Paul speaks Paul's words to the Spirit's gone. What I find interesting is we find out about Lydia. When Paul converts Lydia, we know who she is. She's a woman of wealth. And she makes a home into a house church. But the slave girl, this is all we know of her. That her value to her people who owned her was that she could predict the future. And these men took their income away. So we don't even know how how the slave girl responds. Is she excited to not have a spirit of divination in her? Does she get beaten because she no longer is of value? We know nothing about her except her circumstances changed when Paul spoke those words and the Spirit left her. She was restored to her normal self. But that's all the story tells us. That's all Luke shares with us. But those owners were pretty upset with Paul and Silas, and they beat them up, flog them with pipes, throw them in jail. So they're on the jail floor with shackles on their ankles. Can you imagine how painful that must have been? And what did they do? They sang. They sang and they prayed. And everybody there in the prison listened to them. God again was speaking and singing. We know how many of our hymns, we were just enjoying a few of them, how the hymns speak to us about God's message of salvation. And then the Spirit moves. I love Acts because the Spirit moves in such fantastic ways. The Spirit moves, the earth shakes, and all the chains are gone, and the doors are open. How could the jailer sleep through that? Did you ever wonder that? How did the jailer sleep through an earthquake? So violent that it shook the doors open, but he did. And why didn't all the other prisoners leave? Why did they all stay? These are all questions that I have. They might be questions that you might have had as you listened. But they did. And the jailer's about to kill himself. I love Luke writes so well. Jailer's about to kill himself, and Paul shouts out, "No, don't do it. We're here. We're here." And these are the words that we've all heard before. What do I need to do to be saved? Has anyone ever asked you that? What do I need to do to be saved? I can see Christ in you. What do I need to do to be saved? And Paul's answer is, believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And he is. And then he takes them into his home. The whole household is saved, from the little ones to the old ones. Everyone is saved. And I love it. The jailer washes Paul's feet and Silas's feet. And then Paul washes them in the waters of baptism. And then they feast together at his table, and all rejoicing at the salvation of all of the people there. And I'm assuming, we don't know if the prisoners got saved, but we can assume that they didn't leave. Why didn't they leave? The message was compelling enough to keep them. The reason we read it to the end is because I wanted you to know that Paul didn't just leave and leave the jailer to face the magistrate. They could have gone on their way to Lydia's house and the magistrate find out they're all gone. They stayed. They stayed long enough to have justice for their flogging. But it came back to me the thing about what do we need to do to be saved, and how important it is in that scripture that we hear that all the chains are gone. All the chains are gone. And if we move to our time today, when we think about our lives, we get chained up. We get imprisoned by many things, don't we? We find that sometimes it can be grief that holds us and kind of barricades us in. Sometimes anger, unforgiveness, bitterness. Or maybe what chains us is our finances, because we can't say no to things we should say no to, and suddenly we're in debt. Or maybe it's our jobs chain us down, and all we do is work and work and work and have no joy in the Lord. That we can be so bound up as a people that we forget the one who says, "Unbind me," to Lazarus, but who brings an earthquake and breaks every chain in that place. Not just, and no one else was asking for their chains. No one was asking for those chains to be broken. My chains are gone. I've been set free. That's one of the verses of a contemporary Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And by his blood, I can't remember the rest. But the fact that God can take away our chains, and all we have to do is come to the Lord and ask, what do I need to do to be saved? And it's a very simple answer. All you have to do is to believe on Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Would you have been able to sing hymns and pray in a prison, all shackled? How often, all shackled by the things of our own lives, do we sit in prison and not turn to the Lord in praise and prayer and song? This week, when things begin to bind you, when those chains wrap around you, consider one of your favorite hymns. Let it move in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit, and let God break every chain, because what we want is peace on earth. So that's what we're going to sing about, is we want peace on earth. We want God's kingdom to come as it here on earth as it is in heaven. We want the things that God has promised us to come to fruition. And what the story in Acts reminds us is it will. It will. Have faith and pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.